During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
All right, who is this, Joshua?
The old man question.
Tory
Lanez.
There we go.
You know who we're going to need maybe for the next segment? I'm going to put you in a bad spot. We need some Miami Sound Machine. Gloria Estefan.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get it right over your head? She's fantastic. Just search Miami Sound Machine. You'll find it. The rhythm is going to get you. Just look up The Rhythm Is Going to Get You. That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. By the way, they were showing the Pro Bowl skills competition on ESPN just now on the TV that's in the studio here, and we were talking about Lamar Jackson and maybe not being into it. They just showed the precision passing contest that he was in. He was not into it.
Not very precise?
No. And like I said, some of these guys just don't take – nobody takes it seriously, but it's the wide receivers, running backs, and – other non-quarterback players that want to do well in this competition just so they can say they beat a quarterback. And I love the fact that all of a sudden at the Pro Bowl, everybody becomes a fan of wearing a bucket hat. That's the only time you ever see NFL players in bucket hats. That's it. Maybe in training camp when it's particularly hot. I don't know. Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. We are both wearing ball caps today. No bucket hats in here for us. You got yours on backwards.
Just ball caps.
I'm 50-50 on whether or not I wear it backwards or forwards. Because it kind of came into vogue when I was younger. And right now I might be the guy that's too old to pull it off. I don't know. Maybe once you get past 30, 35. But I'm going to do it for the rest of my life.
I wake up too early to even know what I put on. So I just look busted every time I come in. So.
There you go.
But it's sorry. Radio, so that's the good part about it.
Yep. Our guest from 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1, is none other than Nick Jacobs. Nick, are you rocking a bucket hat today for the Pro Bowl?
I do not own one, so unfortunately I will not be doing that.
I think I might have a couple that were like giveaways over the years, but bucket hats are not, that's not my thing. That's just, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think the closest I have would be a cowboy hat. That would be the closest to a bucket hat for me.
I used to have a decent cowboy hat, and I gave it to my dad years ago to wear. I think he was going to some party, and I haven't seen that hat since. So that's okay.
You seem pretty torn up about it.
Nah, I don't wear. I really don't wear it. I love wearing my cowboy boots. Now, the last time I need to get them cleaned though, because I have not worn them since the last Kenny Chesney concert at Arrowhead Stadium. And the day before, maybe early in the day, it had poured rain. And so when we were leaving the concert, we had to walk. The parking lot was a disaster. So we had to walk up a muddy hill, and my boots are still covered in dried mud. And that's probably not good.
Yeah, you probably better get that ready for the next concert, probably this summer.
Exactly. Well, I got tickets to go to the big four-band show. I'm going to the Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Outstanding. See, so you may not need them. I don't know.
I don't think I'm going to need them because it's probably going to be 97 degrees at Kauffman Stadium for that show. And really, the primary band I want to see is Motley Crue because I've never seen them live. Def Leppard, okay. I guess they've been here a lot. Joan Jett, I'm excited about because I think she just rocks. And Poison, I'm kind of like, that's the band where if I need to, you know, get up for a few minutes, that might be the time to do it.
Well, I hope you don't have Poison on the show anytime.
No. I've had, we've had Ice Cube on the show, and we've had, last week we had country music singer Blaine Howard on the show, but I have not had anybody from Poison on the show, so I think I'm good to go. I'm pretty sure they don't care what I think anyway. So, we're talking about the Super Bowl, but first, since all this Pro Bowl stuff is going on today, my favorite thing about this year's Pro Bowl is that there are no Chiefs involved, which is great. I generally don't care about the Pro Bowl very much, but if you do, it's going to be on Sports Radio 810 WHB, pregame at 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock. Nick, will you devote, I know you're a football junkie, will you devote some time to the Pro Bowl this afternoon?
I mean, it'll be on in the background, and I'll be listening, but I won't intently be keeping tabs on every little bit and piece of it, though.
Because you're actually going to be working today, right?
Yeah. We'll be tracking the bus arrivals in Miami, so that'll be making sure that those are situated.
You know, working at 41 Action News, you and Todd Palmer got the 4th and 1 podcast, and Gary Lezak jumps on there all the time. How did Mick Schaefer get a trip to South Beach, and you get to stay home?
Hey, it's just, I do what I got to do when I got to do it. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, so you'll have the Pro Bowl on in the background while you're getting your job done. So let's talk Chiefs and 49ers. Nick, you tell me what you think. For me personally, I thought this past week was just slow. You know, there wasn't a lot of new information. You have your daily press conferences at Arrowhead Stadium, but to me, not a lot of sizzle. And it's more of laying the groundwork for the week that's coming up. Was it kind of a grind this past week for you?
I would say you're used to a certain pacing and you're used to a finality with everything, within a 7-day span, and then you move on to the next one and the next one. So I think for a lot of us, other than the bye week, I mean, there's really not much. There's not much that you have to pay attention to. So, I mean, the bye week I think you still have football on. There's still football storyline. So the fact that there's one game left overall, I mean, I know that made it probably feel like it dragged out a great deal, and the interest in the Pro Bowl is really not going to be there for a lot of people. You're really not breaking down this wide receiver is going to match up against this corner. How's that going to fare? I mean, it's just not the stakes or the level on that. So I think that's kind of – not having other football storylines, I think, is what kind of probably drags this week out for the most part for everybody. But the reason I'm okay with it being a 2-week span is because it allows those guys to get as healthy as possible so you can have the best game as possible and everybody can be as fresh as they can at this time of the year.
Well, let's just pick it up right there then. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1, and 41 Action News was already on the air at 6 a.m. Mick Schaefer and the whole team down there in South Beach. We'll have a team from 8:10. Darren Smith is already there. We got guys going, people going today and then later in the week. So let's start with getting healthy, having the 2-week break. Chris Jones was asked this week, how did you feel in that last game against the Titans? What did you feel your percentage was? And he goes, well, I felt like physically I was about 50%. I still think he played awfully well. But he said 50%, and they said, how do you think you're going to feel for the Super Bowl? And he said 1,000%. That may be just a little the confidence talking, but 2 weeks is important for a guy. Like, it's important for everybody who's nicked up, but Chris Jones, that 2-week break is huge.
Yeah, for Chris Jones, that's going to help him a great deal to whatever percentage it'll be, who knows. But, yeah, it's something that he definitely could use to get up to the close to 100% as he can, and then every single other Chiefs player and 49ers player, it's only going to help everybody involved to where they don't have not having that game this Sunday to have to recover from. That's going to be crucial for everybody involved to where you have to start from scratch. They can just maintain their recovery and after practice be able to get back to where they need to in terms of getting their body up to full strength. So I think overall, I think it's going to help everybody.
And Travis Kelce missed a couple of workouts this week because of an illness is what it's listed. I'm hoping it's not this coronavirus that everybody's talking about. I don't think he's been to China recently, so that's not going to matter. But I was just kind of thinking out loud, if the Super Bowl were today instead of next week, would Travis Kelce have been healthy enough to go ahead and work out, or would he just have to sit and wait for Sunday? Because we don't know what the nature of the illness is.
Well, he was out there on the practice field. It looked like either Thursday or Friday. I can't remember, but I assume he would have probably played had it been the case. But luckily, it's just like all the NFL football teams, it's the time of the year with colds and flus overall. So, I mean, it could be a range of anything that people have been, people have been getting this time of the year like they normally do. So it didn't seem to affect Travis too much since he was out there. I remember it was Thursday or Friday, and then he met with the media at the end of the week. So, I mean, he wouldn't have, if he was, if the illness was something significant, he wouldn't have been out there doing all that. They would have probably kept him away from his teammates. So I would assume that everything is A-OK on that one.
All right, let's get into breaking down the video that you've been looking at all week, and follow Nick on Twitter at Jacobs71. Also, look for the hashtag JacobsEyeInTheSky. It's good stuff that comes out all week long. We just heard from Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo in the last hour from his comments earlier in the week. And Nick, I know you love, absolutely love talking about offensive line. And most weeks, we spend a little time on it, not a lot. But this 49ers team, with the way they run the football and the way they zone block, which is kind of what the Chiefs did years ago when the Chiefs used to run wild on everybody, it's been a huge talking point this week. And Steve Spagnuolo mentioned not only the zone schemes and the blocking schemes, but the running backs able to cut back against the grain and get guys jumping out of their shoes.
Yeah, it's this 49ers run game is going to remind a lot of people of the Denver run game under Mike Shanahan, because his son Kyle runs that a great deal on the offensive line. He has the athletic ability to be comfortable in it, and they're able to do some of the combos out of it overall. So, I mean, their offensive line is able to be versatile with it, to where they can do some of the zones, they can do some of the traps, they can get to the second level off some combo blocks together. So they're a sound offensive line overall, and the advantage that the 49ers have is the quickness they have at running back and the rotation they have between Tevin Coleman and Mustard, and then also Matt Breida. So the three of those guys, I mean, they're able to rotate together. Coleman looks more so the power back than what Breida is, and then Mustard is. So it's been interesting to watch. Now, the Packers, I know the Packers gave up almost 300 rushing yards. I don't think that would be the case in the Chiefs 49ers matchup. It's just the Packers alignments against them really, really left them susceptible to a lot of runs off the edge and cutbacks. So they never really seemed to adjust or truly have an answer for it. So Steve Spagnuolo, on the other hand, he's a guy that they normally have it adjusted right before halftime in the second quarter. If not, they seem to have a really good pulse on what the opponents are doing by the start of the third quarter after they talk at halftime. So it'll be interesting to see how that first quarter goes in the Super Bowl and what the Chiefs offense is able to do and what the Chiefs defense is learning about the 49ers attack, and then kind of going from there.
We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1, Chiefs and 49ers, next week, Super Bowl 54. So kind of the knee-jerk reaction, Nick, and you kind of tell me how to take this. The knee-jerk reaction to the 49ers run game is, for Chiefs fans and for us in the media too, is, well, you know, the Chiefs took care of Derrick Henry. He wasn't allowed to run too much in that playoff game. But the Titans, don't they block a lot differently? You know, aren't they two different things?
Well, it's really more so about the running back overall. I mean, Derrick Henry took longer to get up to speed, so at times they would have him between 6 to 10 yards back. So then it would take him a little bit longer to get going, and that's where the Chiefs were able to take away some of the advantage because of how well Frank Clark and Terrell Suggs set the edge on a regular basis. So then by the time Henry got there, there was just a big pile, and so he had to slow down. So it would be like getting a truck going, and then you have to slam on the brakes all of a sudden, and then it takes a little bit for that truck to get back up to speed. So for the Chiefs, they did a really good job at taking what Henry does well, especially on the edge, and getting up to full speed. They did a good job of slowing him down, stretching him out at times, and then taking away the cutback. So, I mean, with the 49ers, it's just their running backs can hit it a lot quicker. So if you make a mistake, there's not a lot of reaction time to it, especially on cutbacks. There's not a lot of time to, all right, we got a couple seconds because this back is slower. You don't have that time. It's much more of a lightning quick kind of, for Chiefs fans of the division, it's more like a Philip Lindsay style of speed that the Chiefs have gone against the Broncos. That's really more of the type of speed that they're facing against the running back.
That's a really excellent comparison. I hadn't thought of that, so I appreciate you bringing that up. So, I mean, the usual cliches here, gap responsibility, assignment sound, correct?
Yeah, those are going to be big parts of it. The challenge that they're really going to have, and it's going to take a lot of film study this week, and it's going to take the Chiefs coaching staff having a good idea of what they like to run, what styles of runs they like to run on down and distance, and what they're predicting they're going to try to attack against the Chiefs, because they do a lot of what Andy Reid used to do back in 2014, to where they use a ton of what we call ghost motion, mm-hmm. to where it looks like there's a threat of a reverse on every play to hold the backside. So they have a lot of misdirection going on. So it's even like the Ravens to a certain extent, to where minus the quarterback running. There's two to three people you have to respect on the play in the backfield there, depending on what they do with the fullback back there as well. But you have to respect two to three people, whether it's potentially a flash pass, a screen, or a run, or a reverse. So they kind of have to keep tabs on all that. And when you have to keep tabs on all that, it creates hesitation. And they're trying to do that to hopefully get people to hesitate on the backside so the cutback lanes can be there.
We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1, along with Todd Palmer. A couple of more things about the 49ers offense and what the Chiefs need to do or how they counter it. George Kittle is the elephant in the room. I mean, my God, the guy is really damn good. And as Steve Spagnuolo said, he'll surprise you at how good a run blocker he is as well. How do the Chiefs counter George Kittle? Do they try to, you know, bracket him? Do they, you know, zone, man-to-man, straight up with somebody? How do the Chiefs try to counter with what they're going to try to do with George Kittle?
Well, the first thing they're going to have to decide is if they want to potentially put Tyron on him.
That's what I was thinking.
If they want to put him on him, do they want to put Sorensen on him? Because Sorensen, you could probably get a little bit more physical there. I'm not saying Tyron can. It's just Tyron will give you more of the athletic ability to be able to stay with him and cut underneath him and make an interception on him. Like, Tyron's just got that ability. But also, you kind of want to put Tyron in a spot to where he can communicate with other defenders, because he recognizes an ID stuff really well, what they're trying to do formation-wise. And you can tell he's a really good student of coach's film. So he's just got a really good feel for stuff, and he communicates tremendously out there on the field with his hand signals and what he's trying to tell him. So you just got to decide if you want him to be closer to the line, or you want him to be able to observe further back. So there's that aspect of it. And then, yeah, with Kittle, I mean, he's a physical guy. He run blocks really well. He's not completely to Rob Gronkowski level yet, but, I mean, he's certainly – I would consider him currently the best blocking tight end in the NFL now. And he was that coming out of Iowa. So that's why I was hoping the Chiefs were going to get him a year he was coming out, and unfortunately they didn't. But he's one of the best blocking tight ends. And, I mean, he's not Travis Kelce fast speed-wise. He's kind of more of a – he's faster than Anthony Fasano. He'd be, like, between Anthony Fasano and Travis Kelce, if few Chiefs fans are wanting to kind of more of a comparison. So, I mean, he has some speed. It's just not to Kelce level. And he's where he eats, and where I think he kind of really shines, is off play action pass whenever those backers have crashed down. And he really dominates over the middle off play action.
Anthony Fasano, boy, there's a reference from a while ago. that's a good reference point to say it's between Kelce and Fasano. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, co-host of the podcast 4th and 1. All right, let's get down to the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Nick, we're all over the map, and I mean a collective we, national media, local media. Nobody knows what to think. You know, against the Saints, he throws for a billion yards and 5 touchdowns. Last week against the Packers, he completes 8 of 9 passes. Didn't do a whole lot because they were running wild. I honestly don't know what to think. And maybe it's a matter of what the Chiefs present him or try to force him to do. I'm smart enough to know when I'm not smart enough to have the answer. And I don't have the answer on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, well, hopefully the Chiefs have it on Sunday. That's all.
Yes, right.
That's the only people I care if they have the answer on it or not. If Steve Spagnuolo and crew have the answer, then I'll be good with that one. From what I've seen on the tape so far, it's really you do not want him in a 3rd and 5 or longer. And for whatever reason, like I feel like he holds on to the ball too long when it's 3rd and 5 or longer, especially if it's like 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 10. Oh, man, does he put himself in a lot of trouble, make a lot of poor throws, and and potentially risk some interceptions. And there was, I was watching him against the Rams here in week six or week seven before I hopped on here, and he threw a fade route under pressure that when you throw a fade route, it's a quarterback's supposed to angle for the back pylon. So that's kind of their target, and you're hoping the receiver will be able to adjust and put the right amount of air, but not too much air on it. And the pressure he had, he didn't even make it he barely made it to the front pylon, and Marcus Peters intercepted it. And that was just because he kind of he shifted his weight, kind of threw off his back right foot because he didn't want to get hit. And because of that ball, he put too much air under it, and he didn't put enough power to it. So because of that, it didn't go as far as it traveled as it needed to, and he had a risky red zone interception there. So from what I've seen with him, they like to get him. They really, really want to use play action with him. They want to use him on the bootlegs. They want to do some type of play action to where he has a wide open look and can make the throw. And I mean, they'll use some shotgun formations from time to time with him. But I think right now, from what I've been able to watch on the tape so far, they're really big on using the play action to give him comfortable throws and easier looks to where he's not under pressure. He's not in a situation to where he can make a mistake with pressure in his face that leads to the turnover.
All right, so a couple of final things for you. We'll flip over to the Chiefs side of the offense. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1. For the Chiefs, you know, you're looking at the 49ers. Nick Bosa is obviously the name that jumps off the page, along with Richard Sherman, although Richard Sherman's not what he was 4 years ago, but he's still really darn good, and you're looking at DeForest Buckner and players like that. Do the Chiefs, now with the offensive line healthy and with Wisniewski being thrown in a couple of weeks ago, is the Chiefs' offensive line in a position to either make some room for Damian Williams or to keep Patrick Mahomes upright for four quarters?
I think they're going to have a tough challenge to keep Mahomes from probably taking a couple sacks, just because of the speed of Bosa coming off the edge there. I think that'll give Eric Fisher some fits, and if they move Bosa around, I think there'll be a little bit of an adjustment period for how quick he is around the edge and the strength he has. I personally think he's going to be better than his brother in a couple of years. I mean, I think he's already on par with what his brother's able to do, and I think Nick's going to topple Joey in a couple of years after he's been in the league long enough. But their front four is really, really, it's really athletic. It's one of probably the three or four most athletic lines the Chiefs will face this year. And comparing it O-line wise, I see it similar to what the Vikings were. The Vikings, I thought, were a powerful and athletic offensive line. The Jaguars were just a physical offensive line, had a lot of power to them, and I thought they were one of the Chiefs' bigger threats this year. So, and then obviously the Chargers, the edges with Ingram and Bosa. I think this is kind of the equivalent of it, because I mean, when you're looking at the scheme overall, the 49ers scheme, the cover three concept that they use from Seattle, it is based on your front four being athletic, being able to penetrate, being able to get upfield quickly, put pressure on the quarterback to where they only have to defend in zone coverages. They just have to defend the sticks and keep everything further back, which is what the Chargers did in their two matchups against the Chiefs. Keep everything in front of the sticks, rally to the tackles, and don't get beat deep. So that's kind of what the 49ers are kind of banking on as their rush to get there. So the problem comes if the rush doesn't get there with the Chiefs' offensive line hopefully dominating them, then they open themselves up to where there's a lot of manipulation with motions that Andy Reid can do, and with the way he can use the trips formation like he has been to clear out some of the zones and then give some openings in other spots. So it's gonna be rather interesting to see what Chiefs can do.
I was gonna say if you can hang in long enough with it. Are there areas to exploit among the linebackers and defensive backs for the 49ers where you can get Kelce with those cutters underneath, or drawing people inside to Kelce and getting Tyreek or Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins in some open spots? Because we saw the pass play with Watkins last week. There was nobody there. They were all sucked in. to the middle. Do the 49ers present some opportunities for the Chiefs to do some similar things?
Yeah, the Chiefs, they've done, when they play the cover three scheme, they've done consistently well against it. I feel like Andy and them have a good pulse on it. Because one of my favorite games, they didn't score as many points in this, but it was back in 2014 when the Chiefs played the Seahawks at Arrowhead. And they put on a clinic on two different drives against Seattle. Just the way they motioned and shifted and did shifts and had them read this key and that key off the formation. And they just went up and down the field on two or three different drives. They went up up and down the field for 80, 90 yards on them without a problem. And then for people that are wondering this year, the Chiefs have played the cover three when they played the Jaguars and the Chargers twice. And then obviously they played it a handful of times last year. So, I mean, the Chiefs have they know what to do and what to exploit, and they have plays that they can run off of them, especially Sammy Watkins in week one, as you remember, with that leak route that he scored a touchdown on. There's just certain ways you manipulate it to where the Chiefs cleared that out. They brought this route all the way across the other end, and you have to time it a certain way to where when those zone defenders carry with those receivers, they get nervous with getting beat deep on them, and then you sneak routes underneath it. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things where I think the Chiefs, depending on down and distance, can really attack that. And, yeah, what I think the Chiefs have the advantage of is if the offensive line is able to negate the pass rush as best as it can, the Chiefs have the speed to overwhelm that 49ers pass coverage to really get some big yards after catch and potentially at some point be able to get some deep passes over the top of them. I think they're there to be had. I think the Chiefs' speed and their receiving options can really give the 49ers fits. That's why they're probably going to have to lean on a lot of zone, the 49ers will, just to try to be able to watch everything and keep it in front of them.
Those are things I like to hear. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1. All right, Nick, if this Super Bowls can be, you know, rather tight affairs, you can have some close, I know there's blowouts that happen, but you can have some close games too. If this comes down to special teams, 49ers kicker is Robbie Gould. He's one of the best. He had a huge contract a couple years ago. He's one of the few kickers the only kicker I can remember holding out to get a bigger contract. Robbie Gould is pretty good. We all know about Harrison Butker. He's pretty good. Which one do you want if it's coming down to a game-winning kick, 3 seconds left, and you're down by one?
Yeah, Butker.
Or tied.
Yeah, Butker's kind of one that I would, obviously I've watched him enough to have him more of a comfort level with him. But, I mean, I will say overall, kickers make me nervous no matter who. If their name's not Adam Vinatieri in his prime, it's always just going to make me nervous. But the only reason Adam Vinatieri gave me that type of confidence is I watched him do it enough in clutch situations. So it's just a matter of Harrison, or if Gold was the guy I was rooting for, it'd just be a matter of seeing him in those clutch situations do it routinely over the years. So this would be their opportunity to start from scratch. But I got confidence in Harrison, but I do know that the 49ers have some weaknesses in their special teams and coverage that can be exploited as well.
I like to hear that too. All right, more likely to get a sack in the Super Bowl, former Chief D. Ford or current Chief Terrell Suggs?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with D. Ford on that one.
The guy who's 20 years younger?
a little bit younger, yeah.
What about, you know, when D. Ford's in the game, we know the 49ers use him strictly as a pass rusher now. If he's in the game, do you have an audible situation set up where, you know, Patrick Mahomes scans the line and sees D. Ford and audibles to a run straight at D. Ford?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the top things I'd be writing in the game plan right now. 55's on the field, we're going to run at him. He's not stopping it. So we're going to run at him, and we're going to run at him again and run at him again. And that's the way you negate that 49ers pass rush, is you get physical and you run right at him and you wear him out, just like the Patriots did the Chiefs last year. That's how you slow down a fast, athletic pass rush, is you run right at him. And from what I've marked down on some of the coaches' film so far, there's some opportunities to run at him and to get significant yardage. Because I'm watching this Rams offensive line do it, and they were one of the worst in the league this year, in my opinion, at running the ball.
Well, so if you're liking maybe what the Chiefs can do, possibly running against the 49ers, I was looking up prop bets this morning. Mm-hmm. Westgate Las Vegas has 600 of them, by the way. I can't even get through all of them. But one of them is the Kansas City Chiefs rushing attack, over under 88.5 yards.
If they're committed to it, I mean, I think there's some opportunity to get above that without much of a problem, and I'm not even talking with Pat Mahomes.
Well, I can tell you what, if the Chiefs get over 88 yards, unless it's in a situation where they're trying to run out the clock at the end of the game and they just happen to pile on, Joshua Briscoe is not going to be happy with that many rushing yards. He's all about the passing game, if that's okay. All right, Nick Jacobs, I'm not going to hold you to this because we still have a week to go and things can change, ideas can change. You'll probably watch a ton more video and things may change. But your gut feeling for a prediction right now, Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl 54.
Well, do you remember my prediction last week when you had me on for Chiefs Titans?
You know what? My notepad from last week is not okay. Here because normally I write down the predictions that people give me, and I didn't bring my notepad from last
okay.
week.
Okay. So I
have I'm writing this one down right now. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm saying I had the Chiefs at 38, the Titans at 24.
38-24. Okay. Are you sticking with that for now?
Or? Well, no. That's what I had for the last one.
Okay.
The Chiefs played the Titans, and the game ended up being 35-24.
So okay.
So it's pressure here.
Okay.
The 49ers, I think, will slow down the Chiefs a little bit more than the Titans. Right now, my gut feeling on it, I'm going to put it at 31-21 Chiefs.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going to have it. But I do expect the Chiefs to have a comfortable lead over the Niners. But I do think, I personally believe it's going to be early on in the game. It's going to be exploratory mission. I think the Chiefs will score. I think the 49ers will get off to a hot start. Then I think it's going to really start to even out there in the second quarter and halftime. And then I think the Chiefs are just going to figure out ways to do what they have to do to slow down the 49ers attack, but also be able to put up enough to lock in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, right now I'm going to go 31-21 Chiefs over the Niners.
Okay. That's a good number. 10 is a good number. I'm still sitting at yesterday. I kind of sat on Chiefs 27, 49ers 20, and I kind of left myself room. I said, you know, I'm going to probably come up to a higher number on the Chiefs. So maybe move that up to maybe a 31, maybe a 33 type number. I'm going to have to feel it out again over the next couple of days. But that's where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, and I know I'll have to double check. But when I was looking at how the Chiefs have done against the cover three the past 2 years, I know they have not scored less than 24 against any cover three.
Okay, I like that. That is a good.
So I'm going to help you on that.
Okay,
on that. That's at least where they're at on that, and I'll send you the numbers. There's a handful of games they've scored 30 or more against the cover three. So.
All right, hey Nick, I appreciate the time. I went way long, just like I did in the last hour. But Demi Lovato singing the national anthem. She did it in the 2015 World Series, and the Royals won that. So I'm saying, why not Kansas City again? All right.
I like it.
There we
I
go.
Like
hey, Nick, thank you very much. I know you got more film study to do. We'll be looking for that on your Twitter account, at Jacobs71, and also catch the 4th and 1 podcast from 41 Action News with Nick and Todd Palmer. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. We'll be talking to you soon.
My pleasure, Brad.
All right. That is Nick Jacobs. Like I said, 41 Action News and the 4th and 1 podcast. I am way late. Joshua Byers is giving me the look, so we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. See, I told you, didn't I, Joshua? Well, Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan. I've never seen her live, but I've seen her on TV many times. That band is fantastic. Her husband's in the band, too. Fantastic. Very Miami Super Bowl vibe. I wonder if Jennifer Lopez and Shakira might have a special guest named Gloria Estefan. That stadium would... I realize not everybody in that stadium is going to be from Miami, but that would be really cool. Do I have to come up with all the ideas? Do I have to?
Or Pitbull. No.
I've never been a Pitbull guy. I don't dislike him. It's just not...
He's Mr. 305, isn't that Miami?
Yeah.
Very, very Miami.
I know. Frank Martin likes him, I guess.
But he's Mr. Worldwide as well, so.
Yeah, well, you got to be Mr. Miami. Gloria Estefan is whatever you want to call her, Queen of Miami, Mayor of Miami. Pick your title. Gloria Estefan could have all the titles. Give her all the titles. She's awesome. But that would be great if she made a special guest appearance, maybe at the end of the Jennifer Lopez Shakira set. That'd be great. By the way, we were talking about hats earlier. Super Bowl gear is out. It's all over. You can find it anywhere. Just Google Super Bowl gear, whatever. I don't usually spend a lot on gear. When the Royals won in 2015, I had a World Series hoodie that I bought, but I didn't. That's about it. I don't spend a ton of money on this stuff. So I'm driving home after the show yesterday, and I live on the Missouri side, so there are now pop-up tents showing up in parking lots with big banners, Super Bowl gear. The one I saw was on 103rd Street between State Line and Warnell. It's kind of in front of, if you know where Jasper's restaurant is, that big parking lot there. So it's on the south side of 103rd Street. So I saw Super Bowl gear. Look, I don't know who owns the tent. I don't know who runs it. And I'm not making, I didn't go in. I'm always a little leery about the street side tent situation. If it's knockoff kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's run by somebody who runs the store around there. I don't know. I was a little leery about that. You're going to see more tents this week just popping up all over town. Super Bowl 54 gear. Would you go in? I did see a hat yesterday. Somebody posted on Twitter. They were downtown, and they had some place that was selling Super Bowl merchandise, and I saw a hat that was really cool. It had, you know, the LIV on it and a Chiefs logo. Because I don't want just the regular Super Bowl hat. It's got to have a Chiefs logo on it.
Would you rather get a Super Bowl jersey with the patch on it?
Oh, I like those.
Or what they wear opening night, where they have those jumpsuits with the number and the patch, because they're both cool. Probably the same price, I bet too.
The tracksuits?
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be. See, I don't wear jerseys around very much. I can't remember the last time I wore a jersey. I've got a great Monarchs jersey I'll wear to a Royals game sometimes. I don't generally wear a lot of jerseys. I might go tracksuit on that.
Yeah, those are going to be beautiful. I think we'll see them tomorrow.
I like the jackets they had for Mexico City. I can't remember. Who bought those? Somebody on the team bought them. Going to draw a total blank. One of the players bought the jackets for everybody on the team. Wanted to get one of those. But I like the jersey because the Chiefs put up the video of Patrick Mahomes wearing it, and it's got the LIV logo on one shoulder. It's got the 100 logo for the 100 years of the NFL logo right in the middle. And then I can't remember what was on the other side, but that's a cool look. I just don't wear jerseys. Hardly ever. So I'd go more tracksuit. It's probably my speed. It's probably a better look for me. But I'm thinking I'm going to have to buy a hat at some point. I have not seen sweatshirts yet because I just haven't dug through and looked to see what's available. Get a Chiefs hoodie to go with my Royals 2015 World Series hoodie. I'd have to try that. Either way, sports stores in Kansas City are going to clean up this week. Rally House, Charlie Hustle, pick your store. And I'm going to leave somebody out. I apologize, but just pick your store. It's going to be a lot of green spent this week to get ready for all the parties. Now, there's the follow-up question for you, Joshua. Josh Briscoe and I are going to be here for the post-game show Sunday. And we're betting, we were discussing it last week, the kickoff's at 5:30, which it's not going to kick off at 5:30. Let's say 5:45, 6:45, 7:45, 8:45. Mix in a halftime that's like 30 minutes. We might not get the show till 10 or 10:30, the postgame show. Which means we're already planning on staying on the air until 6 a.m. when the Border Patrol comes up. So we'll be here all night. Where were you taking the game? Do you have to work here? Is it all hands on deck, or you got party plans? I used to throw a huge Super Bowl party when I was in high school and college.
Probably just with the family.
Okay.
You know,
not too wild?
Not too crazy.
Okay.
Just get some nice food in you.
Okay.
And relax, enjoy the Super Bowl. It's kind of a tradition. So I think for everyone in American households, you kick back, you watch the Super Bowl.
Will you have fireworks on standby should the Chiefs win? Because that happened in 2015.
I will not, but I'm sure some neighbors will.
Yes.
That's almost
100%
a guarantee.
100%.
And I saw the tracksuits. They are listed at $250.
Ooh, nope, I got a hard pass on that.
It looks like a chef's jacket.
Yeah.
They look a little, I don't know if that's the one they're going to be wearing, but it looked a little off to me.
Okay.
So we'll see.
I don't have $250 to throw at a jacket, so I just don't. One, I don't make that much, and two, I've got two kids in Catholic school. So all the money flows that way. Anyway, so if they win the Super Bowl, though, I'll find something nice to buy. It won't be a $250 jacket, but it'll be something nice. We will take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Maybe add to our predictions? I don't know. Things always get a little nuts at the end of the show. And then we've got the Pro Bowl today on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pregame at 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock, and then tonight starts the 7 days to Sunday from Westwood One here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Back after this quick timeout. That's the Beastie Boys, right? There we go. I love this whole disc. That's what we used to call it. CD. It's all instrumental. Just feels like you're sitting in the club. Had a good show today here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We missed out on Kelly Stewart. She's been recording shows for Bleacher Report, so we'll see if we can. I doubt she's going to have time next week, but we'll try it again at some other point. We had Darren Smith on live from South Beach, first member of the 810 WHB contingent to get to Miami, and he's already out covering the team. He'll be out at the airport to get their arrival, and that'll be on 810's Facebook page. You can watch that live. The Chiefs getting off the buses or off the airplane and getting onto the buses. So, Darren Smith, thank you for joining us. And we just wrapped up with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1. You know, we were talking to Darren Smith earlier. I've said, going back to high school, I have probably said Darren Sproles' name close to 1,000 times. Because I did some play-by-play for Olathe North games, and you're probably saying it 60 times during the game, did some of those, K-State, then the National Football League. So Darren Smith was on with us, and he's part of that contingent all week long. Huge group going out there. They'll be Darren will be there. Sorrell will be out later this week. Stephen St. John is headed down. Todd Lebo headed down. Alec Trost and Jason Anderson, who was walking around the studio earlier today, is heading down. So we'll have it covered. Pardon the pun, 6 ways to Sunday. That's just terrible. Just terrible. So we were speaking with Darren about celebrities that'll be walking around and they want to do interviews and they want to pitch their products. They're, you know, I got this soda and I've got this, you know, whatever. I've got this T-shirt company and on and on and on and on. I generally, just because I've been doing this so long, I'm never in awe of a celebrity, because when you meet, you know, whether they're athletes or actors or singers, they're just regular people. I mean, what did we think during the 2014 and 15 World Series run? Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, Eric Stone Street, David Koechner, all the local guys coming back, Jason Sudeikis, all the guys coming back, just regular guys, just regular people. If I was in Miami for the Super Bowl, and I saw Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, I'd be out cold. I'd be hyperventilating and then eventually sent to the hospital for recovery. There's only a couple of people I can think of where I would be in awe of meeting somebody. Like a Neil Armstrong, guy went to the moon for crying out loud. Like a Brad Pitt or a Tom Cruise. George Clooney seems like he's a pretty regular dude, other than being worth hundreds of millions of dollars and having homes all over the world. Seems like he'd be just a regular dude. I don't know. I watched The Godfather a couple of times this week, so if Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, if I would happen to run into them, I'd be a little bit freaked out. Definitely. All right, so again, we'll have Super Bowl coverage all week long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was looking at the schedule for next week because one of my Twitter followers tweeted at me, what's the schedule for next week for Sunday? Just turn your radio on at midnight going from, actually, it's going to be all, most of the day Saturday too, but Saturday at midnight, Sunday morning, 12:01 a.m. Just flip on 810 WHB and it's going to be on all day. Ali Trost has a special. Serena has his normal pregame festivities from 9 o'clock to extended to 1:30. Joshua Briscoe and I will have a special pregame show as well going into the network. And then, of course, we have Super Bowl 54 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Harlan, Kansas City's own, will be on the call for that game. So plenty of Chiefs coverage all week long, and then next week on Saturday and Sunday, and I'll be here Saturday morning from 9 to 11, and I'll have plenty of Chiefs people lined up and all of our 810 folks lined up. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a blast. Now my excitement has peaked. I wasn't there yesterday. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to go forth and enjoy Super Bowl week, and not only enjoy it, but be excited about it and get ready to roll. All right, we are out of time for this edition of Sports Sunday. Again, we've got Pro Bowl coverage for you coming up. 1:30 for the pregame show, 2 o'clock for the kickoff. And then later tonight at 9 o'clock p.m., it'll be the beginning of 7 days to Sunday, coverage by Westwood One. I like Will Smith, so I'm just going to roll out with that. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers has been running the show. Enjoy the rest of your day right here, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Chiefs in the Super Bowl. All day, no work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, lay the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar, running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill, when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, how are you?